This morning. Praise the Lord. All right. I don't think any kind of studies on the end time, as Pastor Phil's been bringing to us, been doing such a wonderful job, letting us know the times in which we're living are not our own. They're in God's hands, and there are things that are developing upon the earth, and God is bringing forth from heaven into the earth by His Spirit that is showing us that we are most definitely living in the last days. Now, the last day has not come, but to be understanding about the time in which you live as the church is most significant because it helps you in your prayer life. It helps you in your spiritual life. And the very goal of God for the church in this last day is that you and I would mature, that we would continue to grow and to develop spiritually, and that we would actually come to the very measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's a mouthful. But God is able to do that with us as we yield to Him and submit to Him and give our spirit over to Him. The Lord is working with us, and every day that you seek Him in prayer, every day you read the Scriptures with a heart to learn and to open your ears to Him and embrace the things that the Lord teaches, He's maturing you by it. He's preparing you for His coming. And what I want to share with you this morning is a teaching concerning Israel as God's prophetic calendar. And I mean the very nation of Israel. And I don't think that any of us can ever be thinking about living in this day as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and not have an interest in the nation of Israel. Now, the reason I say that is because, as I just said, Israel is God's prophetic calendar of what's taking place and going to take place in these last days. Matter of fact, when the Lord finally comes, we're told that His feet will touch down on the Mount of Olives, that the valley, that the Mount of Olives will split to the north and the south. A valley will be prepared for the remnant of Israel that will be saved to escape, and all Israel will be saved. Jesus, our Lord, will reign and rule out of restored Israel, out of restored Jerusalem in the last days for 1,000 years. Our King will truly be King over His people, Israel, over the Jewish people. And though there is no separation between us and them, and I'm a Gentile, I assume that you are, unless you're Jewish, that there's no difference between us and them. That middle wall of separation has been broken down by the cross. Everything that ancient Israel had and was promised to the Jews through Abraham is ours. Abraham is our father by faith, and we walk with him by faith. We're known with him because of our faith. The Lord recognizes that about you and me, and it's something that He's doing in this hour in that He's going to restore everything that He never took away. He's going to restore the things that men have lost through sin, through neglect, through delusion or confusion. The Lord is bringing it back, and He's going to settle us very squarely on the Word of God. He's going to confirm it by His Spirit, and He's going to show forth that He really is acting and living in our lives as His bride in these last days. It's not insignificant, and I want to just start out this way, that with Israel being God's prophetic calendar, there are events that have happened, literally that have taken place, that have fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. There came a move of the Spirit in the early 1900s. Some of you recognize it about Azusa Street and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that went worldwide, and the Pentecostal movement was raised up through it, the Latter-day movement, all of these movements. Well, at the same time that the Spirit was being poured out all over the world, there was a movement in the heart of Jewish leaders living in the latter 1800s, early 1900s, called Zionism. And Zionism was a movement to move back the people of Israel, to move back to the land of Palestine, move back to their land and establish Israel once again. The Holy Spirit was behind all of that, both working in the church and empowering her, restoring to her through the Holy Spirit things that had been lost for centuries, as well as now moving upon the Jewish people with a desire to go back to Palestine after they've been scattered all over the world, literally for 1900 years, and now that they come back to their land and establish their homeland and their state and their nation. And do you know that of all the promises given by God, our God, concerning Israel, 140 of them in the Scriptures speak of the restoration of His people in the last day. It is the most given promise by God of any of the promises that the Lord has spoken. The Lord is very earnest about His people Israel. And you have to understand, while there's no difference between us and a Jewish Messianic Jew who loves the Lord, their Messiah, beloved, you have to understand that Jesus is Jewish. Wow, it's quiet. And He is Jew. But He loves us just as much as He loves the Jewish people. But He's very earnest about restoring them because He's going to rule and reign. And you have to understand there's some things we're going to come to here, some points I'm going to make about the restoration of Israel in these last days, that that land of Palestine, now listen carefully, God said, I have given to you, Abraham, and to your seed, the land of Palestine, and it is yours forever. And regardless of what goes on politically in the Middle East or around the world, I want you to know that Israel is there to stay. And while they may make some minor concessions concerning land or so forth, they are never going to give up their land overall. They are never going to give up Jerusalem ever again. And it's very important you understand that, because I'm hoping that this morning through this particular word I bring you, there'll be a stirring in your heart to love Israel. Yes, the political, right now, modern day Israel. That you will love her. You will pray for her and for her salvation. You'll have a desire for her. You'll follow what Psalm 122 says about those who pray for the peace of Jerusalem are blessed. And that you would pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The only peace she's ever going to ultimately know is when she receives her Messiah. They welcome back the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are going to do that. But they're going to go through a lot before that takes place. But I want you to understand that this outpouring of the Spirit that happened at the turn of the last century was in conjunction with the movement of Zionism. And then in the 1940s, there came a great move of the Spirit of God and a healing revival. Some of you have read about it. You're knowledgeable about this. But great evangelists were raised up. Great men of God and women of God were raised up. And they had all kinds of healings and deliverances and salvation. People like Oral Roberts, William Branham, Jack Coe, A.A. Allen. Great healing evangelists were raised up in the 40s. And God was dealing with His church in a new way, saying, see here, look, I still heal. I still deliver. I still know how to set my people free. I still save. And this was going on at the same time. There was something going on with the Jewish people, and they had gone back to their land, many of them. It was a result, believe it or not, because of what Nazi Germany had done to them, because of the Holocaust. There came an earnest drive, a drive in their heart to get back to their homeland, to escape what was happening, of course, in Nazi-occupied territories and lands, but just to get back there. And it happened. They went back from all over the world. They went back from Europe. And you have to understand, they went back under great opposition. But they went back because God says in His Word over 140 times, I will draw my people back to the land of Israel in the last days. And so it came into their heart. It's just like when God puts something in your heart, and it's really the Lord God. You're going to press through. You're going to see it come to pass. You're going to endure. You're going to sacrifice. You're going to overcome. You're going to keep pressing in. Now, this kind of move of the Spirit came upon their heart without them even realizing. You have to understand that the very promise that God makes all things work together for good to those who love Him. He even worked for them. Out of Nazism came a great move of the Jewish people back to Palestine. And you have to understand that the British mandate came to an end in 1948, where they occupied the land of Palestine and Jerusalem. And the very day that that ended, David Ben-Gurion declared to the whole world, this is now the state of Israel. In 1948, when the healing revivals are going on in conjunction with the Spirit of God upon the earth with the church, 1948, David Ben-Gurion says, Israel is now reestablished. And the scripture says, can a nation be born in a day? Can a nation be saved in a day? And the Most High God, because He is Most High and He's our God, is able to raise up a people and cause things to happen that would seem absolutely impossible, that would never take place outside of His hand and His sovereign will. But our God, because He loves us, is moving all things toward a consummation, an end, and it's going to be most glorious for His people and not so good for the wicked. But during that time, we had an American president who stood up on the very day that Israel declared that they were a nation. In 1948, May 13th, 1948, Harry Truman was the first, and perhaps only the well, there were about five other nations, and none of them you could name, that he said, we recognize the state of Israel. Harry Truman, we recognize the state of Israel. He stood up for Israel. America has always stood up for Israel because we have this background in our Savior. We know the place of Israel in ancient history. We know how it starts with Abraham and has come through all the generations up to our time. And there had to be a people through whom the Messiah could come. And He had to come back to a temple. And He had to go in there and cleanse it. And He had to let the zeal of the Lord eat Him up, you know, and propel Him toward the cross so that He would go there, not just for His people, but for you and me, and die on a cross for our sins, be buried in the land of Israel, and resurrect the third day. And our Lord, our Messiah, has done that very thing. But there was this movement, and so Israel was restored as a state in 1948. And I want to tell you, with that restoration, beloved, I believe that marked the beginning of the end times. Because God, over 140 times, says, I will bring my people back, and they will be a nation in the latter days, the last days. And if that wasn't enough, there are other signs going on. We can't ignore the fact that Jerusalem, God's holy city, the city that stoned her prophets and rejected the men and the women that were sent to her by the Most High, that this city has always been the very apple of His eye, His great desire, because there He's going to reign and rule. for 1,000 years as the true king of Israel, as the true ruler of the earth. And we're going to reign and rule with him as the church. But in that time of an outpouring with that Cindy and I were a part of, some of you were a part of, the great charismatic movement, the faith movement, during the 60s, during that outpouring, which we were right on the tail of, we came in 1970, but right during that time of the outpouring of the Spirit in conjunction with Joel chapter 2, where God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, and upon the maidservants and men servants I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And beloved, God is still pouring out his Spirit, because not all flesh has yet received his Spirit. And God is still pouring out his Spirit. But with the in conjunction with the outpouring of that Spirit that we were a part of back in the early last part of the 70s and early 70s, there was the restoration of Jerusalem to the Jewish people. In 1967, for the first time in 19 centuries, Jerusalem was restored to the people of Israel. It came on the end of a six-day war where they reoccupied Jerusalem and they took it. And beloved, in 1967, it marked something, beloved. If you're aware of Scripture and you believe it and you have an understanding of what God's doing in these last days, you know that Jesus said that Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Luke 21, verse 24. Jerusalem will be trodden down by Gentiles until the age of the Gentiles is over. Well, that happened in 67 when Israel got back Jerusalem. Beloved, the age of the Gentiles came to an end. Now you say, well, wait, I'm a Gentile and I'm saved. Yeah, we're here. We're still operating as the church. But you have to understand that in God's mind, in God's thinking, in God's economy, in God's kingdom, different things are going on in the realm of the Spirit. And that marked something, beloved. That was another one of those end time signs that we're living in the last days. So with the restoration of Israel, with Zionism, with the coming of a state in 1948, with the restoration of the city to Jerusalem, since that time, beloved, the Jewish people have been moving toward the thought of building a third temple. They've been moving toward the thought of restoring sacrifice, their priesthood. And Cindy and I had the joy back in the early 90s of going to Israel, as Pastor Scott was talking about for our pastor, Pastor Phil and Alexa. We went there, and we had this wonderful tour from north to south, east to west, all over Israel. We were in Jerusalem for 2 or 3 days. We went to the Temple Institute, which is just one of the movements in modern-day Israel, the Temple Institute, to see the temple rebuilt up on the Temple Mount. And I don't want to say anything too much, but beloved, that temple is going to be rebuilt. It's going to be rebuilt right up there on that Temple Mount. And the Dome of the Rock may still be there, but I've been up on that Temple Mount. I kind of wiggled my way up there through literally a back stairway and came up on top of the Temple Mount. It's like football fields up there. I think it's like 36 acres. And on the far end sits the Dome of the Rock, which is, you know, is Islam. But on the other end is vacant. And a temple would easily fit there. The Temple Institute, when we went inside to the Temple Institute and we're talking to the folk there, I want to tell you they are earnest, they are serious, and they are out to see it happen. When we went in there, we saw the priestly garments that they've remade according to the Bible specifications, the tools for the temple, the snuffers, the lighters, the menorahs, all of this. The only thing that they don't have, they haven't recovered yet, and they have just about literally everything else for the restoration of the temple is the Ark of the Covenant. And I've heard stories, I actually know where it's at, and when it's time, they'll go get it. I'm just saying, beloved, that we're living in a time that God wants us to make, buy up the opportunities that we have, realize the time in which we have, that the kingdom of God is on the rise, the bride of Christ is being purified and mature, that, beloved, the days are coming when they're going to run out. And it's going to be a glorious thing. It'll be just right, the way the Lord puts it together for us and moves us into it. But you have to understand what's going on here. You can't bury your head. I'm hoping again that you'll look at modern day Israel, which I know is political. Which, you know, listen, I'm well aware many Jews, many of the Jewish people are agnostic or atheistic, outside the Orthodox. Do you understand that? Many of them are either atheistic or agnostic. They don't even believe in a God. But they will, and the Lord's going to see to it. I remember in college when I was out of IU, I was so naive. I was a brand new Christian, and I saw that I could take some courses here in writing, and I didn't understand that this was a part of the Jewish element on the campus who are holding these classes. And so as a naive young man, I went in there, and I remember one day sitting in class, and I don't know it, but I'm going to find out. I'm the only Gentile in there. And so our professor raises a question, and I gave him an outstanding, powerful, straight from the Bible, New Testament Christian answer. Yeah, I did. And you, just like you're laughing, I mean, we were laughing because it's joy. They laughed me to scorn. I mean, the professor had to stand up for me. I didn't know if I was going to get stoned or not, because a lot of them, they just, oh man, they let me have it. But I was a young man and I'm learning. And so I experienced this, you see, and the things that are happening, you must be aware of so that you can pray about these things. You can examine the scriptures about these things and know that these things are coming to pass. The whole, maybe you've heard of the whole thing with the red heifer. And the red heifer is spoken of like in the book of Numbers. It's very essential, the red heifer, where it would be sacrificed and then it would be, the ashes would be taken, and the ashes would be mixed with the right elements, and they were used for the purification of the priesthood, the purification of the utensils and the different things, and the temple itself. And what happened back in 2019, there were five, and here's America again, but there were five red heifers out of Texas sent to Israel. Back in 2019. Now, the thing about the red heifer is that it goes under a probationary period, this animal, so that it must remain pure. There can be no blemish in it. There can be nothing white. Not even a single white hair can be found on this red heifer. And they are a young animal, but they must be totally red. And as of the latest date, the information that I have, perhaps some of you might have something more current, but there are two that are left after these years of probation. I think there's one more year that they have to go through. And then in the third year, after all this probation, they will be ready to be sacrificed. And there are two that are still remain that are pure and all red. And you have to understand that Israel is going to be restored. The third temple is going to be built. Sacrifice is going to start. The priesthood will be in place. And everything will be pointing to the end time and the last days. And so what I am wanting to do here this morning is point out some things to you. The first one is this, that with God, with Israel being God's prophetic calendar, beloved, keep your eyes on Israel. You know, there are a lot of distractions. Satan tries to move the church. Look at China, look at Russia, look at the little pipsqueak called North Korea. You know, try to distract your attention. You know, get all caught up in America. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to keep their eyes on Israel. Be praying for Israel. So what I want to do here is, first of all, is show you that there is an eternal promise. Number one, there is an eternal promise that the land of Palestine is her possession forever. And this is essential that you understand this, that, as I said before, Israel will never give up her land. She will never, ever give up her city again. There may be some minor concessions like they've had to give, to the Palestinians. You have to understand this, that the Israelis have been very loving and kind to the Arabs and the Palestinians. When there's battles and they bring the wounded in, both Arab and Jew, the Jewish medical professions treat the Arabs just like the Jews in their treatment. You don't hear a whole lot in our news media about all the good things that Israel does. It's obscured, and that's on purpose by the news media. But there are sources that you can tap into to find out what actually is going on there and be able to enter in. So just quickly, I want to wrap this up. There's so much to say, but I wanted to give you enough this morning to, I hope, grab your interest and also just touch your heart about the people of Israel. So the first thing is this, the eternal promise that the land of Palestine is her possession forever. You find that in Genesis 17, where God is speaking to Abraham. And let me just quickly read that to you. I just want to point out the specific passage. Abraham, God appeared to him numerous times, and each time he is telling Abraham that this land is yours forever. And the Lord is very earnest about fulfilling his promise to his people Israel. And in Genesis 17, I'm going to pick it up in verse 6. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. So this land is never, ever going to pass from Israel ever again now that they're on it. Matter of fact, it's going to be added to by our King, by our Lord, before it's all over. The whole Temple Mount area with the Millennial Temple, I don't have time to get into that, but that's Ezekiel 40 and chapters after that. But the whole topography is going to change to receive the new temple and all that's involved with it in the last days. The second thing I want you to see is the promise of her ultimate restoration. And as I've said, God has promised over 140 times that he would restore his people and draw them back from the nations in the last days. And the Lord has fulfilled this. Just one passage is Isaiah chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it. many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion, Jerusalem, out of Zion shall go forth the word, the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. Isn't that wonderful? It's coming. God's going to fulfill it. There's the goat nations. And there are the righteous nations, the sheep nations. And the ones that are left are going to beat everything that was warlike into what's for peace. Thirdly, there's the ultimate salvation of Israel as a people. Romans chapter 11. I can't overemphasize the significance of this, that one day, as Paul says in Romans 9, 10, and 11, if you want a New Testament passage to read, meditate on, study, and pray over, it's Romans 9, 10, and 11. Paul in that passage tells us that one day all Israel will be saved. And in Romans chapter 11, let me just read a few passages from that, because I want you to see this. Paul was such an amazing man. Of course, being Jewish, he loved his own nation, his own people. Yet he was called to minister to the Gentiles, that's to us. And yet he gave his life for this. In Romans chapter 11, just very quickly, verse 25, he says, he's talking about us, Gentiles, the way we view the Jewish people. He says, lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. 1967. It's not over yet, but you hear what Paul's saying prophetically. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, and he will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So the Lord has promised to restore Israel, promised to restore Jerusalem, and that all Jews, in the end, beloved, is going to be a saved nation. He says this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about taking the veil away from the face, from the vases of Israel's heart, and their hearts will be open to receive the Lord. Beloved, I witnessed to some of those, I witnessed to one of the professors when I was there at IU, and they listened very politely, but they weren't receiving anything I was saying. And the Lord gave me great grace, and I was able to really explain it well. It even surprised me. I was really thankful for it. But he was speaking to her because he wanted to reach her heart. But she could not see it because that veil is still there. And you have to understand that it's going to be there, but one of these days it's going to be taken away. And it's taken away. You can see it in Zechariah. And this is why you want to know the scriptures, beloved, not just as an academic way, but true in a prophetic way. 30% of all the Bible is prophecy. You can't ignore prophecy and think you're going to prosper and mature in these last days in the things of God. In Zechariah chapter 12, a tremendous prophecy, many things he says about the end times. But in Zechariah chapter 12, beginning in verse 10, he says this, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. On that day, the mourning in Jerusalem will be as great as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo. The land shall mourn, each family itself by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the Shimeites by themselves, and their wives by themselves, all the families that are left, each by itself, and their wives by themselves. So beloved, so broken over the fact that all these centuries, Jesus really was the Messiah, and they could never see it. They never received him, but now they see him as he really is, their Messiah, the one that they pierced. And they're so grief-stricken by that, they separate themselves out as if it was a death of a family member, a child. And they go apart to grieve and to mourn. And it's out of true repentance that they're doing this. And they're restored. One day, beloved, one day, of those who are left, of the remnant that is left, all Israel will be saved. And this is the last thing I want you to have. And that is the promise of the restoration of the kingdom of Israel. We have a great king. He's always been a king. The Lord is going to demonstrate he is the king. King of the universe, king of the heavens of heavens, king of this little planet called earth. He is the true king. He is going to demonstrate his kingdom, demonstrate his kingship in these last days. Beloved, he is going to give the earth in the outpouring that's coming, in the great move of the Spirit that's coming yet before the great coming falling away. He's going to demonstrate to the earth that he really is God. He really is the Savior. He really is the great King. It'll be undeniable. Those who see it and hear it will not be able to stand before him on that last day in judgment and say, I didn't know, I didn't understand. He'll say, well, didn't you hear my word? Were not my people faithful to tell you? Didn't you see the signs and wonders when I raised the dead and healed the sick and the demons were cast out? Didn't you see that? And they'll say, yes, we saw it. They'll be without excuse. And all the smart answers they thought that they would be able to tell God as they're standing before his throne, it'll flee their head. And he will shut their mouth. Because he is a holy God and a righteous king. And he is a king who is a redeemer and a savior who comes to save his people. He's a king like no king. And he is going to demonstrate his kingdom. In Daniel chapter 7, in Daniel chapter 7, and I think most of us, we have a great love for the prophecy of Daniel because it speaks so much of the last days. But in his prophecy, he brings out how that the Lord's kingdom is going to be restored to him all in all its fullness. I'll just read one verse here. Verse 27, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. When it says given to the saints, you have to understand Daniel is only thinking of one people as saints. That is the Jewish people. This is not speaking of the church. He's saying that in the last days, Israel will be restored. Their king will come back, and the true king will reign and rule right out of Jerusalem forever and forever. This is our God. This is our king. And I don't have the time. I'm going to close. But there were some things I wanted you to see if you'll do this. Will you do this? Read Romans 9, 10, and 11. And in that passage, I want you to see Paul's great passion for his people because he begins chapter 9 by saying, I could wish myself to be accursed from Christ for my people if they would only see him, their Messiah. Can you imagine making such a statement? I mean, that's like Moses who stood in the gap before sinful Israel. Lord, if you blot them out, take me out too. And here's Paul with the same spirit of grace and mercy, saying, Lord God, if it would be possible to take me out to save them, then do so. But he's speaking sacrificially. He is speaking as an intercessor. He's willing to lay down his life for his people Israel. And it's just that beautiful. It's just that powerful. And then in chapter 10, in the first opening verses, he says, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is they might be saved. And so would this become a part of your prayer life, is that Israel might be saved. Not praying just for the peace of Jerusalem, but that Israel might be saved. Because what you're saying is you're hastening and you're calling to heaven for the return of the Lord. Because that's the only way there's going to come peace to Jerusalem and the whole nation be saved. But let this become a part of your prayer life and a part of your passion as the bride of Christ in these last days. And then the last thing in chapter 11, he speaks of many things, but he, gives this beautiful illustration of the olive tree and the natural branches and the unnatural branches, and how that the natural branches have been cut off and set aside so that the unnatural branches can be grafted in. And he's talking about we, the Jewish people, have been set aside, and we, the Gentiles, have been grafted in, contrary to nature, to a good olive tree. You don't graft wild olive tree branches, anything, into a good tree. You graft the good into the good. And he says, God has done this. He has grafted you and me into the tree whose root is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And because of that, we live and we have this hope. So don't despise the Jews. Beloved, they've been despised and rejected and persecuted and slaughtered through the centuries by even people, some who called themselves Christians. But I implore you, I ask of you to love them, to humble yourself, and understand that your position in Christ is because the Lord has temporarily set aside the Jew. Their heart has been hardened. Their blindness is there, but only in part. Remember, only in part. It's not total. Thank God it's not total. So God is working in us, and he's doing this in us so that they might become jealous. Oh, the magnitude of the wisdom and the mercy and the glory of our God, that he can have mercy on all because he has brought all under condemnation, that all might be saved. And this is the Lord. This is the God of Israel. This is the God of the church. And we are one in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. My Father in heaven, we want to thank you for what you're working in our hearts as your church in these last days. Lord, we recognize that surely, Lord, these are markers in the prophetic calendar of Israel being restored as you promised they would be in the latter days, in the last days. That, Lord, to take back their city, to take back their land is a part of your great heart for them and for us, for it marks the time that is coming of the end. Father, help us as your church to be all that we should be toward your people Israel. Lord, though they know you not, though they are blinded in part, and Lord, they do not know what is right and what is wrong, but Lord, you're going to yet have mercy upon them and restore them into yourself. May we be a part of that and forever rule and reign with them in your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, saints.